141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we build up to another huge night for Scotland. 3 points, top spot in the group, and revenge is up for grabs when Republic of Ireland come to Hampden. John McGinn's in line for his 50th cap as Declan Gallagher and Josh Doig are drafted into the squad. And elsewhere, Liam Fox is the new manager of Dundee United. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you've got Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans.
I'm easily confused, as you well know. But I think I'm entitled to be bewildered by Scotland. We were jittery in June and it cost us a World Cup. Now we're stunning in September, and I think the momentum created by a flawless win over Ukraine will sweep aside the Republic of Ireland tomorrow at Hampden. Kenny, my question is, what will it be like if we ever find consistency?
I'm just going to say, don't you get carried away, Hugh, all right?
You're too late for that.
One performance at a time, and sensational in September, I would say, as well, because the lads were absolutely incredible. Absolutely, from start to finish, even the first 10 minutes, we had to weather a wee bit of possession, a few long balls in behind to test us out, with Mudryk rampaging down the left-hand side for Ukraine. The lads took control, they were dominant. I'm sure Steve reaching the 70th minute mark was kind of ruining them his chances, because there was umpteen created, but then we got that opening goal and it was plain sailing towards the end with a couple of Dykes headers just to seal the result. But it was an incredible performance, probably the best I've seen for a Scotland team.
Really, going that far?
I think so. I mean, and that's what happens. I mean, you do forget previous results and performances, but what I'm basing it on is the result, clearly, but the performance, how controlled it was and how dominant it was against a really, really good team. We've seen how good they were in June, despite us not getting to this kind of level. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the whole, I think the lessons learned from that, Steve Clarke and his team deserve a lot of credit for how they went about their business. And I felt they were relentless, particularly in that second half. It was non-stop action towards Ukraine goal. So maybe a little bit over the top, but I think we're entitled to get a little bit carried away, Hugh, and looking forward to tomorrow night.
Much of the same. 0141 951 1025. Let's join in. What do you think then? Looking ahead to tomorrow night, Republic of Ireland at Hampden. If this is stunning and sensational and the best performance people have seen in a while, do you just keep the same team? Is it crazy to even think of something else? Or do you have to somehow be mindful of the fact that this is a triple header, 3 games within 7 days, and this weird situation that actually a win tomorrow night is no real different to a draw tomorrow night if you go on and draw in Ukraine, if that makes any sense, Hugh Keevans? You said you were easily confused.
I am. But I would go with the same team. I'm a great believer in momentum. John McGinn, 50th cap, he'll be leading out a team of players who are keen and hungry and want to do it again in front of tens of thousands of fans. I personally would go with the same team, but Stevie Clark's got the job of having to get these players peak 3 times in quick succession, and that may bring out the cautious side of Stevie Clark's nature.
What do you think though? 0141 951 1025. Are you keeping the exact same team? Are you tweaking one or two things? Do you need to have the trip to Ukraine in the back of the mind, Kenny? Because it's a strange one. Like I sort of alluded to at the top, you could go all out, bust a gut, beat the Republic of Ireland tomorrow, and it doesn't actually put you in a better position going into the Ukraine game, unless, of course, they drop points against Armenia. But we're sort of basing this on the assumption that they win. 2 draws is enough for Scotland. Draw tomorrow, draw Tuesday, you top the group and you're into the playoffs for the Euros.
I think it is irrelevant, to be honest with you, thinking about what gets you now. We can all do it and we can work out all the permutations of what we need and what we don't need. The team need to turn up and perform that way. If they perform that way, then everything will take care of itself. If Scotland drop down a levels, as we've seen in June, or a few levels it was in June, then we can get beat to anyone. I mean, Ireland beat us 3-0, and that day it could have been 5.
Oof,
let's be honest about
it.
It was an absolute annihilation that day. Probably the worst performance that we've seen, definitely for this Scotland team under Steve Clarke. So it was the signs are there and the lessons just need to be learned, that when we are not at our best, we can fall foul to a really, really poor result. So yes, all the permutation will work out, and I'm sure Steve and all the lads will know exactly what they need to do, But for me, they need to go and just replicate that type of performance.
Yeah. I mean, an international triple header is a sort of new phenomenon. Is that any different from just doing what, you know, say Celtic Rangers are doing at the moment?
No, it's not.
Weekend, midweek, is it just the same thing?
Cool. Yeah. Of course it is. You know, it's three games.
It's not anything to be extra cautious about personnel wise.
But I think Rangers and Celtic and Hearts now, when they're facing Europe, they still have these same issues. They still, and you will see changes. I mean, I would be surprised to see the same starting 11 start these three games. Mm-hmm. I think that it's really tough to imagine the players reaching this kind of level.
So that's kind of my point then.
Yeah,
do you expect changes tomorrow? So the changes come
away to
Ukraine.
You could have Dykes, for example, scorer of two terrific goals midweek.
And he could have taken that place. So it might not be a case, all right, we need to change Shea Adams because the power of work he puts in. This could be,
or because he got hit by a train in the first half.
I'm still saying it wasn't a red. I'll put it out there. But anyway, it could be Dykes taking that jersey off Shea Adams, which is what you want. You want the kind of decision that I feel we need to make the change for the benefit of the team. Not because, I think he might not be able to go again for another 70, 90 minutes, whatever it is. So that could be right, Hugh. That could be an obvious change, but I think the rest of the team, the way it functions, I mean, there will be a change. Hickey will play, you would imagine.
Yeah, of course.
Patterson, obviously, because again, another enforced one.
Right, what do you think then? What are you thinking about tomorrow? Are you going along? Have you got a new sense of optimism after the other night? Would you change the team? Is there anything you would tweak about it with the trip to, the trip to Poland, of course, in mind? John McGinn's in line for his 50th cap. Any of those topics tickle your fancy, now is the time to share it. 01419511025. And of course, elsewhere, Dundee United fans, it would be nice to hear from you. You've got a new manager. Is that the right call or not? Let us know. 01419511025. Let's get the thoughts of Stevie Clark to kick us off.
Great, you just got to look at his contributions, his goal scoring record, his assists. He can play different midfield positions. He brings his own bubbly, bright personality into the group. He's a key member of the squad on and off the pitch. I think he enjoys it when I push him a little bit further forward and he's got the chance to make those goals, to make those assists. It works well for us. It has worked well for us. And obviously, I'm indebted to John for a lot of the good wins that we've had, because he's managed to get the goals or the assists. So hopefully he can keep it going and hopefully he can get to 100 and get a few more goals and assists along the way. That's the group that carries you forward. We've spoken about how we try to create a pathway for the younger ones. They'll come in. John, don't forget, John McGinn was in a lot of Scotland squads. He famously tells me about the time that he was asked to run the line in one of the squads because he was surplus to requirements at the time. So you have to understand that there's a process. John accepted that. He waited for his chance. And that's what you want. And that age group of player is the one, when I first came in, they didn't have that many caps. And I'm saying over a period of time, they will pick up the caps, they will become more experienced and hopefully will improve as a group. And I think, maybe some people disagree, but I think we've improved a lot as a group.
Hard to look beyond that, Kenny. You'll be welcoming someone else into the 50 cap club tomorrow. And he's been one of the main men, hasn't he, for a while now, John McGinn?
No, he has been. I think was that his 14th goal the other night. So in 14 and 49, it's an incredible return from primarily a midfielder, albeit he does get thrown into that advanced role, which I do agree with Steve, it really suits him. I think if you're asking him to play that little bit deeper stuff and build the play, it maybe doesn't play to his strengths. And that's the one thing that I think Steve's done really, really well over the last couple of seasons now, or couple of years with the Scotland team. He's found a way of getting the players' attributes into the areas that they can most affect the game. So again, Callum McGregor, Billy Gilmore, McTominay controlling the game, Ryan Jack. You've got guys like Armstrongs, Christies and John McGinn who can really get beyond a striker. They can score, they can create. I mean, I thought that play that led to the Patterson chance, where it was the kind of one-touch combination play, and I think it was McGinn into Armstrong who then set Christie, who then fed Patterson through. That's as good as a move you'll see. That if that had been like a man, if that ended in a goal and it had been a Man City or a Liverpool or a Barcelona, you would be absolutely waxing lyrical about that type of play. It was brilliant, and that was the three players behind the striker combining. So again, that's, I think, the changes, the slight change to the shape that he had made allowed these players to get in and amongst each other, connected, that they can play that type of football.
All the more impressive from John McGinn, because at his club, Villa, they changed the captaincy and gave it to him, took it off Tyrone Mings. And Steven Gerrard was criticised for that, and at the time Villa weren't exactly pulling up trees. He's come through that period. He was sensational on Wednesday night, and I'd like to congratulate him in advance for joining the Hall of Fame, because I always declare the vested interest. We grew up beside the McGinn family in Clydebank. They are terrific people, and any success for the McGinns, I applaud.
20 caps behind you. Only a couple of goals though. What's he? Is he going to catch both?
Listen, with the way, not just John, I mean goals, John, but I think in terms of caps, there's so many guys lining up there. And again, if we had the Nations League, I probably would have got about 100 caps.
Exactly,
enough, but never mind. It's, the way it comes.
Good to
out,
see he's not bitter about it.
The games come thick and fast now, so it's there's no doubt. John, I think boys like Kieran Tierney, Callum McGregor, all these lads that are kind of in and around that, if not surpassed the 50 already, we'll get right up there. John, in terms of his goals, like, I think the role really, really suits him to go and get involved with the striker, go beyond the striker, arrive in the box and got on the end of crosses the way he did with the cross in the first half. He was unfortunate just not to guide it towards the back post. So role really, really suits him. And his goal, he's hungry to score. Mm-hmm. You know that? I mean, you need to have that kind of instinct to get into the right positions constantly and get on the end of things, and he does it every time the games come around.
I mean, seriously, Hugh, we're discussing Scotland here in the company of the man who is eighth on the all-time caps list. That is the level of authority that we have in the studio tonight. 01419511025. Right, I'm glad we have to bring this guy back. Josh is on the line, who phoned us earlier in the week. Josh, have you got the EuroMillions numbers for tonight?
Gordon, do you know, I wish I'd said 3-0 on Wednesday. I'm glad I've been able.
Oh, I thought you did. I'm trying to do you. You lied. Did you say? What did you say?
2-0.
Oh, 2-0. There we go. Yeah. Forget that then. Right,
I'll get him off.
See you later, Josh. It was nice to catch up.
He's a pessimist.
We only brought him back on, Hugh, because I thought he'd got the prediction bang on. Right, fine. Lyndon Dyke spoiled it for you, Josh. But you were close.
He certainly didn't spoil anything, Gordon. What an atmosphere it was. Glad I'm back on with Mr. Keevans, who was still raging about his suitcase or whatever. Mm-hmm. On Wednesday night, because he was saying that Ukraine weren't going to be a walkover and all that. Nonsense. We went out there and absolutely banjoed them, right? I felt that on Wednesday we just showed, you know, the quality of the team we have. I mean, what happened in June was an abnormality, right? And you know, we've proven now that we are a top side again. You know, we can compete with top teams across Europe, right? And I think folk that, you know, there's some people out there, admittedly not Hugh Keevans or anyone on the show, but there's people out there that still cling to this idea that Stevie Clark is not the man for Scotland, or that he's a dinosaur, or that he's antiquated, or whatever. I mean, there we are, we've took Ukraine, who not long ago got to, was it the semis they got to in the Euros, or the quarters? And we absolutely done them in on Wednesday night, you know? So, I mean, not even that. I mean, you're talking about teams like Serbia, another good team, Denmark, another, you know, top European side. So we are competing at that level now, and we've got a great squad, a lot of great performances. And I'd like to get Kenny Miller's thoughts on the oncoming prospect of John McGinn taking over his record in the scoring.
Yeah, I touched on it already, Josh. It's going to happen. I think as long as he stays fit and healthy, he's going to. I mean, he's scoring at an incredible rate. I think that's just under 1-3 in relation to a midfielder or attacking midfielder. So he's hungry for goals. I say that he's got a great instinct and timing arriving at the box. So it's I mean, listen, many more to
he's
come.
A very similar scoring rate to yours, by the way.
He's better as it stands at the moment.
Only just though.
I'm one just under 1-4. He's just over 1-3. Mm-hmm. I would say. Okay. My maths is right.
Josh, could I ask you what you mean by the game against Ukraine in June being an abnormality? What do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean is that is not. What happened, you know, during the summer against Ireland and against Ukraine, it is not the normal anymore. I don't believe now, you're right, I just don't believe now that we go into games and get absolutely done in against teams, right? We go out, we do professional jobs against every team that we're supposed to beat, right? You know, your Armenias and all that, and your Kazakhstans. And normally now, you know, against some of the bigger teams, we turn up. Now, admittedly, I will say that we haven't played, since Stevie Clark's come in, apart from the very start when we had Russia and Belgium, we haven't really played an absolutely top, you know, top 8 or 10 European or world team. So I will be interested to see how we do, you know, when inevitably we get a top team, you know. But I think we've played teams who, in years gone by, we would think that we're going to really struggle. I mean, I went into that game, and I said, I went into that game on Wednesday night pretty comfortable. And I'd say again tomorrow night. You know, I'm going in tomorrow night thinking, you know, the summer was a blip, was a speed bump.
Do you know what I loved from you there, Josh? Right, you're torn somewhere in between wanting to give Scotland credit but not wanting to acknowledge that England might be a top side, because you said we've not played any sort of top eight sides. I think they're ranked fifth in the world, got to the Euro final when we played them. Would you rather just do Scotland down than give them any credit?
Gordon, come on. Do you really want me to answer that?
See, that's the thing, like, Josh. You know, I fully understand. Everyone feels the same way. Terrific performance. Best for a long, long time. I am sure that we'll carry the momentum into the game against the Republic of Ireland tomorrow. But to be brutally honest, we then have to go to another level, because after Serbia, it was party hats and streamers, and then we had a rotten European finals. You know, 1 point, one goal, ta-ta. So we have to reach that next level. The way they're playing right now, good luck to them, and we'll see where the Nations League takes us. But we are not yet the finished article, Josh.
But who's saying they are, though?
Well, you know, but sometimes we get a bit carried away. You know, Serbia and all that happened there, and then we went into the Euro finals, and
you only play three games though, don't you? And you have one good game and two bad, and you're out. And you're right. You can gloss that both ways. You can say that, you know, that's a disaster. You don't even win a game. You only score one goal. But it's three games. You know, it's quite a small sample size, isn't it?
But the three games that we've got,
so one good game, two bad games. Do you know what I mean? That's not much, isn't it?
But the triple header against Ukraine, Republic of Ireland, and Ukraine again. You know, we need to keep that in perspective as well. Josh has made the point himself that he'd like to see Scotland play, I don't know, Italy or Belgium or whatever, and see how we get on then.
Yeah. Italy ranked below England, incidentally, just if anyone pays attention to those things. Look, Kenny, it's just one of those, whether it's the national mindset, I just sometimes feel like there are more people queuing up to say, don't get carried away, than there are people actually getting carried away. That's a very Scottish thing to do.
The thing about all this is, like, and Hugh's right, you turn up at the Euros and it wasn't good enough, but it wasn't good enough, not based on who we were playing, because it was three really, really good teams. It was based on that we never put our best foot forward. We never showed the best version of the Scotland team. Wednesday night, is the performance that team's capable of. And they have put some great performances. You've touched on the Austria games and Serbia's and Denmark's, really, really good teams. England and the Euros, who we are, again, we won that game 0-0 that day. So it was good. There have been really good performances, but it just needs to be constantly replicated. And you need to do it when it matters. You know, there's no point in doing it when the group's over or you've already qualified. You need to continually do it. And this week it matters. You know, it does. In the Euros, it mattered. But this team, when you look at it, it's not a surprise. When you look, I think it was John McGinn was saying after the game, 8 of the starting 11 are playing the Premier League. And the regulars, and the other three are Callum McGregor, the captain of Celtic, playing European football for years, Champions League this year. You've got Craig Gordon, who's done it all anyway, Premier League, he's played at Celtic. And you've got Jack Henry now, who's playing in Serie A. So these guys are playing at a top level. And then you just go onto the bench. There's Premier League players sitting on the bench. There's guys like these guys can't get in the team. So the squad, and that's missing our captain, Andy Robertson, who plays at Liverpool. You're missing Hanley, who's been a regular for Steve Clarke as well. So the squad's really, really strong. We've known it. And I think that's why there was such a big reaction in June, because those performances weren't expected.
A bit late for the travel, Josh. So quickly, Are you playing pretty much the same team? Obviously Patterson out, Hickey in. Anything else up your sleeve tomorrow?
No, I would bounce in same team, Namora Gordon, and all I would say back is, I agree with a lot of what the boys said, but what I would say is, after 22 years of misery, if the Tartan Army only afforded a bit of leeway to get a bit carried away with themselves now, then when?
Good question. Thank you, Josh. 01419511025. We're going to take more of your calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. Building up to Scotland against the Republic of Ireland tomorrow. Of course, Ukraine v Scotland on Tuesday. Dundee United fans, you've got a new manager. Where are you? It would be nice to speak to you on that topic. Anything else? I don't think we had the chance because it was so busy last night. We didn't get stuck into Jim Goodwin and Ryan Porteous cheat gate. If there's anything else out there you fancy, pick up that phone, please. 01419511025. Let's bring in Mark, who's in Maryhill. Hi, Mark.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm very well. Just a nice walk.
Oh, what a night for it. What a night for it. What's your point for the guys?
Well, it's something I want to say to you, but first, just going on the other night, that was coming. If you watch Scotland all the time, we've got quality players of abundance in this generation, and that was coming. It was just a matter of the right time, the right players in the right position, the right passion, and it definitely was coming. I can see more in the future. But Mr. Keevan's made a little comment, and when he was saying the comment, and quite often tonight it's when he's referring to Scotland, he's Mr. Doom and Gloom. It should be when we don't often see the quality of players we've got in the park and the abundance of them. And we played fantastic the other night. It wasn't as if Ukraine didn't turn up or blah, blah, blah. Scotland played out their skin. And it's coming together. Now, let's get up for this tomorrow night. Never mind, I don't know, we never done this last time. You can only go in your last game. And the last game, first half, so-so, but it was a good half. Second half was phenomenal. And let's take that into tomorrow night and gee this country up rather than Mr. Keevan's there. He's a perfect advert for Mr. Doom and Gloom.
Yeah, you should be saying we. You should be calling the team we.
Were you listening, Mark, when I came on at the start of the programme? I said that Scotland were stunning in September. I said the momentum would surely sweep the Republic of Ireland off the park. Would you like me to start singing now about wee bit of hills and glens?
But Mark, he doesn't say we, does he?
But it was downhill since then. Doesn't matter what he said at the beginning. It's been downhill since then. And I don't want to watch the game tomorrow night going on his.
Give yourself peace, Mark. Give yourself peace and enjoy the game.
Why don't you say we though? Can you make an effort between now and 8 o'clock?
I'll tell you exactly why. Because I've been a journalist for over 50 years and you're conditioned never to say we. Because Kenny can say we when he's talking about
Falkirk.
Rangers. Because
oh,
he used to play for Rangers. He can refer to Rangers as we.
Partick Thistle and
if
Livingston
I referred to our club side as we, there'd be pandemonium. Yeah. I'd need a police escort away from here. So I am conditioned never to call any football team we. I am here to add a journalistic perspective.
I thought you were allowed to be biased. There was me thinking that you and the press corps would go to Wembley with your tartan scarves on back in the day for the home internationals.
It was obligatory when England,
was it actually? I was joking.
When England played at us. Mark, when England
said
played
a real snarl in his face there, Mark.
When England
don't
played
get him some face paint, will you?
Us at Hampden. It was obligatory. You were instructed in the press box to wear something tartan.
Quite right. I have actually heard Kenny Miller refer to Bursaspor as we on the show a couple of times.
You?
Yeah, you can't hide it, honestly.
When did they come up?
Been beat the pundit a couple of times. Mark, what impressed you most about the other night? What was it built on that you want to see taken into tomorrow?
It's built on the quality we have in certain positions. Not so much the front. I wasn't expecting that from strikers, but it has been coming. The quality we have is world-class quality in our team. Some of those players on that team would fit into most of the great teams in the world at the moment. John McGinn, we've got choice of left-back, three choices of left-back. McTominay, he's coming on to a game. If you play him in his right position, he'll be the chief for Scotland. In the last couple of years, a performance and a scoreline like that has been coming. And people, they don't like to, I mean, they forget, this is Ukraine. They are a decent team. It's not as if they're not even, they're a bit above our level of the past. But at the moment, we are slowly but surely pulling away from teams like Ukraine. And I just want tomorrow night, I don't want it to be a one-off. I want tomorrow night, I want those players, that management and that crowd to be there tomorrow night and make this something we expect. Because we do, I can forgive Mr. Keevans, we do over the years, it's doom and gloom because we win one or two games, great games against France or whoever, and the next couple of games, we're out of it and we get embarrassed. This team, I think, is determined not to make that happen. And I just hope tomorrow night is more of the same. I'll have my flag out and I'll be going crazy. So, Mr. Keevans, it's we tomorrow night. It's the country, the nation.
He's got up the road to watch Braveheart. He was just telling Kenny and I before the show anyway. We get it on, you and Mel Gibson, we date night.
No, you're right. But I appreciate Mark's fervour, and I'm sure that there'll be 40,000 marks inside Hampden tomorrow night. As I say, I would be absolutely delighted if we win the match tomorrow. But as ever, you know, it's great right now. Just be careful you don't get carried away.
I know this is the thing, because I now feel bad, because I was saying I don't think that many people are getting carried away, and now we're talking about having world class players that would fit in anywhere. But to be fair, if you want to talk about the left backs, you could certainly make a case there.
I think so. Yep. No, definitely for Robertson playing one of the best team in the world.
You've said, you know, at the top of the show, in your mind, and you are the authority tonight, 69 Scotland caps, that's as good a Scotland performance as you can remember. And you do it without an English Premier League and Champions League winner and your captain and Andy Robertson. What does that say about, you know, the depth and the ability to cope without him?
It says that we've got as equally a good left back, left wing back, if it's a different system, in Kieran Tierney. Absolutely have. I fully believe that. And Mark's right, through the midfield, so many options. I mean, effectively there was five, as much as it was they were playing kind of higher up and maybe a little bit wider, and Christian Armstrong, the light coming in, hence the connections and the quality setting that chance up for Patterson right through the middle of the Ukraine team. Quick, incisive play was, it was incredible to watch. It really was. That's why you get carried away with the second half, because it was more control. Ukraine never had their wee 10, 12 minutes at the start yet. I'll tell you, the first half was excellent as well. It really was. To kind of weather that and then take control of the game against a good team, it was really impressive.
There's quite a lot of moans at half time, and made me sort of say, thinking, "What? Why am I feeling more optimistic?" But it felt just like there was maybe it was that final pass, or there was a heavy touch, but it felt like everything else was fine and it was building up. Mark said it had been coming. He's talking about, you know, previous games, but there was still a level of control in the first half, wasn't there?
No, there was. After 10, 12, 15 minutes, then there was. They're so aggressive. Again, I think you can be that aggressive when you've got guys like Jack Henry with good pace. Scott McKenna, really good pace.
What about, is that the back four here to stay?
I don't know. What would have happened if had Andrew Robertson been fit again?
It worked for you the other night, certainly.
It did work. And could Kieran Tierney slip inside and play left-sided centre-back in a four when Andy Robertson comes back? Absolutely, I think he could. It's but again, I don't, the systems for me, I don't get too caught up in that. Mm-hmm. It's because you can achieve a certain style and identity, doesn't matter what system you set out to play. I think people have been kind of crying out for maybe a little bit of change, despite it being very, very successful for the team in qualifying for the Euros with playing a different system. But I think when you look at what went wrong or never went so well in June against Ukraine, we did kind of lose a lot of control in the middle of the pitch. So when you have these players in there, by the way, Mark said it, five effectively, excellent footballers, really, really good players in the middle of the park who can handle a ball. It wasn't a surprise that we controlled the game. When you've got a front three effectively going against the ball, it gives you the opportunity to really go after them high. And the one thing, If above all else, about those players, every single one of them have got legs and great energy to run and work. Armstrong, Christie, McGinn, McGregor, McTominay, they're all got great legs to go. Shea Adams up front put a power of work in. over the course of the night. Very unfortunate no come away with a goal. But again, all the work that he done, his big mate who comes on gets rewarded with a couple of headers for corners. So it was just it was a brilliant performance, you know, and it needs to be matched and it has to be the level. And we went through on that 6-game winning run that did become the kind of level against Austria, against Denmark. So yeah, looking forward to the game tomorrow, right? Much of the same.
This is just as an aside, Hugh. This doesn't necessarily guarantee you anything, but it feels like that team has it's got a lot to like about it, you know, individually. And that the clip we played from Steve Clarke, he identified that John McGinn and Andy Robertson and Callum McGregor and Kieran Tierney, when he took the job, as good as they were inexperienced international footballers. They didn't have many caps. John McGinn will go into the 50 cap club tomorrow. Callum McGregor, I think, will do it in the next international break. Yeah. Kieran Tierney's had injury problems, but now he's racking them up. You've got English Premier League players like Scott McTominay and whoever else. It feels like there's, put it this way, in a romantic sense, for young fans going along to Hampden, it seems there's a lot of guys out there that they would look up to.
That's why I would minimise change tomorrow. I'd ask as many as possible of the team who beat Ukraine to go again against the Republic of Ireland Saturday night, Glasgow, Hampden Park. It's all there for us tomorrow. Us.
Them. Managers will always play this stuff down, Kenny, but fans are more than entitled to go along and feel like we owe the Republic of Ireland one for June, because they were bang at it. We were miles off it. No one saw it coming. Those ones hurt even more. You need to go and try and show that was a one-off.
Yeah, but I don't like the retribution, the revenge types of comments.
Pro,
you know, it's not because I'm a pro,
because dafties on the outside.
Well, that's exactly what it is, a bunch of dafties. I look at it as like, Ireland never done anything to us. You know, they beat us. They were better than us on the night. And again, similar to the Ukraine game, we never turned up. That was as bad as I've seen this week. You talked about how good the individuals were the other night. How bad some of the individuals were on that day was completely, again, it was an anomaly. Like, to use, I think it was Josh's type of phrases earlier. It was so poor, the individual, the collective performance that day. So I'm not interested in retribution and revenge. I'm interested in seeing that same type
of
performance
forget,
again.
That night after the game in Dublin, Stevie Clark's jacket was on the proverbial shugly nail. For some people, there are some people who, from the day of his appointment until the day before we play the Republic of Ireland, who are not having Steve Clarke, and he has to win over people with every game.
But I think Josh was making that point. Is that not so ingrained in some people that, like, let's be honest, it's actually never going to change? And to even talk about the jacket having been on a shugly peg that night is actually false, you know, for you're basing that on the opinions of people on Twitter that don't like Steve Clarke. Like, his job was never actually in doubt that night, was it?
Not for those who employ him, and they're the only people who count. But a groundswell of opinion begins to develop. And that night, after the severity of the win for the Republic of Ireland, there would have been people who
but again, that's my point. It doesn't take much now for that to be the case. There's always people saying things, and you mentioned it yourself. It seems like some people don't need an excuse to hold it against Steve Clarke.
Correct. As I said, from day one in the job, there were people who resented him getting the job, and every time we lose, it's always comments of the type that, yeah, he's a Kilmarnock manager. So Stevie Clarke survives in spite of, not because of, the people who support the team.
Keep your calls coming. It's a good time to get in touch. 01419511025. Would you keep the team the same tomorrow? Would you change anything? What are you thinking? Maybe you're going along to the game. Get your calls in right now and you could be up next.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller are here. They have 69 Scotland caps between them. So on it, you are in great company if you want to look back on the other night with a view forward to the game tomorrow. Should the team stay the same? Would you tweak anything? It's a strange situation where a draw tomorrow and a draw on Tuesday is enough to top the group, yet you could win tomorrow and still not top the group. So it's really about stopping Ukraine. And I said earlier, this is all about the assumption that they beat Armenia, Hugh.
Don't mention caps. Don't mention any form of clothing.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I was having a moment to myself, some reflection during the break, thinking it was only a couple of days ago you were here. We didn't know what Scotland-Ukraine was going to have in store. We were busy tracking your luggage,
yeah,
your suitcase, and a lot's changed since then because Scotland are now brilliant again. Anything changed on the luggage front?
No. By the time I come back to do the programme next week, I'll be wearing my school uniform.
But I tracked it and it said it was going to arrive in Glasgow that night and then to your house the next morning.
A suitcase did arrive, belonging to Lady Chief.
I hate to tell you, I shouldn't laugh, but obviously I'm going to, on behalf of the country. I don't think that bodes well for you.
The man who delivered it said, Hugh, I'm telling you, there's no other suitcase there. You can go and check the van if you like. I think you could see my bottom lip trembling.
Because bearing in mind, it's not like they were both lost and then Mrs. Keevan's case has turned up and yours hadn't. This was meant to happen. They were meant to get sent home. You were, yes, not meant to bring them home.
Correct.
But hers has arrived as, yeah, planned, and yours hasn't.
I think mine's is going down the Grand Canal in Venice right now.
Any valuables in there, Hugh? Any?
Well, seen his gear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes, you never know. Maybe.
Kenny, how easy is it to buy tank tops now?
Yeah, well, that's
not
it.
Not very. Vest, I don't think.
That type of vest as well.
We insurance claim, maybe. I hope you were well covered.
Oh, yes, well covered, yes.
Take yourself down to Marks and Spencer's tomorrow. Go crazy.
It's been suggested that I should, if an insurance claim is necessary, I should use it to buy clothes of the modern era.
Any experts out there that can help a man? I'm worried about him. Because how many days you been back?
Been back exactly 1 week.
You don't strike me as the type of man that carries a fortnight's worth of spare clothes. I think you could be toiling by the start of next week.
Well, if I come in here with the old Third Lanark strip on, you'll know what's up.
You've got like a, you know, like when you used to forget your PE kit. You had to get into like the lost and found
box. We don't
box.
Get any of them in the office today, or not.
We,
yep,
must have something, yep, like that. Got any old like street team hoodies or whatever, old Gordon DL
I've asked the Dazzler because he's a man in his 60s, I'm a man in my 70s, but he's the closest to me. So I've asked the Dazzler what's in,
quite right,
the bottom of his wardrobe.
And he'll be delighted at the suggestion you and him dress the same as well. I look forward to getting his reaction over the weekend. 01419511025. Craig is on the line with thoughts on Scotland. Craig, take it away.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, Paddle. Yeah, listen, I mean, first and foremost, you've got to say, just going to get a chance here, I thought Wednesday was a terrific performance. I thought that, you know, one of those ones that you think, oh, why didn't we do that in June? But at least we've done it now. I do think going into tomorrow, I would be sticking with the same sort of system and roughly the same personnel. I think, obviously, Patterson will be an enforced change, so I'd imagine, you know, I'd be quite happy for Aaron Hickey to come in there and get a chance again, because I thought he was good. I think the only change I would make that wouldn't be an enforced one would be Scott McTominay, because I think on Wednesday, in a game where, you know, almost all of the players were excellent and put in good performances, McTominay for me was the one that just, you know, he wasn't necessarily bad, but he wasn't that great either. He was kind of anonymous for a lot of it, and then when he did feature, he was making the wrong decisions. I mean, he had that moment where the ball comes across him and everybody, I mean, even Hugh Keevans would hit a shot there and he decides to pass it. And a very poor pass at that to Ryan Christie. And it just, to me, it looked like a player who isn't really full of confidence right now. And that's why he's done that. So for me, I'd have him out and bring in, you know, maybe Ryan Jack or even whatever.
It's a big shout, Kenny, because I thought I read a lot of praise for Scott McTominay the other night.
Yeah, I have to disagree with Craig. I can understand the is not getting as many headlines as the McGinns, the Armstrongs, the Christies, the Adams, the Dykes. But I think that goes for McGregor as well. They guys are in there to do a job. Their job is to keep that ball moving, to defensively organise that the guys in front of them pick up the right positions. I thought it was good. I thought he'd done it, and I thought he was excellent. When he needed to be aggressive, when he's got a really good size about him, yeah, he should have got the shot off, Craig. Absolutely should have. When he chose to pass, he never executed it properly. But I think when you're playing in that, we're talking about it before the show, McGregor goes under the radar. And I thought he was absolutely sensational the other night as well. I can't remember him kind of putting a foot wrong. And McTominay type kind of falls into that same bracket. They've got a job. It's not as glamorous as the other lads in the team, but equally as important in regards to controlling the game. The amount of balls that fell out of the Ukraine box and landed on a Callum McGregor or a Scott McTominay based on them being in the right positions just to get the ball, recycle it and have complete pressure towards that Ukraine goal. That was, for me, one of the most impressive things about the performance is how much control we had in the opposition half the other night.
It's a classic football comment. Were you looking at the same game as me? Because I think Craig is out of step with the vast majority. I don't think McTominay lacks confidence at all. I think his displays at Manchester United since the new manager came in have vouched for that fact. Everyone thinks new manager McTominay will get left out. No, he does not. He'd done well for Man United, and Wednesday night, I mean, McGregor for me was the best man in the team, but I would not for one moment suggest that McTominay should give way to Ryan Jack or anybody else.
Important that he stays in midfield. Kenny did say last night, I think it's important probably to not, don't get tricked into thinking that the other night was great and everything else that's gone before was a complete disaster. Scott McTominay's had some bad moments in a back three. He's also had some good moments in a back three that Scotland have had successful results. But over the piece, you like to see him in midfield a bit more if possible. Now, also, sorry, to throw another spanner in, it's because Billy Gilmore's not playing a lot of football either. So there's now not the, the clamour to find a room for him in the midfield.
There is, and I think particularly in June, but it was coupled with probably the, definitely the worst performance or one of the worst under Steve Clarke against Ireland and against a Ukraine team that were galvanised, that were just better on us tonight. Again, we never turned up. Scott is he's had a few moments in a back three. Again, certain games he's done really, really well, coming out with the ball, having that extra midfielder in the team for the back to get things started. I just think defensively, that's where you've seen it kind of highlighted, the balls going in behind, maybe positionally not being quite in the right areas. Decisions, their step, their drop. That's instincts of a defender. Scott McTominay's a midfielder. If you ask him where he wants to play, and it's credit to him that he stepped into that role and done it pretty well over the piece, but he'll want to be a midfielder. And I think when you see that performance the other night and alongside Callum McGregor, and you're right, he's keeping two really, really good players out of that team, and Billy Gilmore and Ryan Jack. So I like seeing players playing in their specialised positions. That's it. They can do a job there, but can they do the job to the best of maybe the ability? Well, he's a midfielder. He plays midfield for one of the biggest clubs in the world. Yes, they're having a great run over the last few years, but he's playing for Man United, you know, as a midfielder. So it was, like I said, I thought he was outstanding the other night, along with everyone, by the way. I don't think there was a negative comment about any performance.
Craig, we'll need to agree to disagree on that one. Quickly, how confident are you then ahead of tomorrow night?
Yeah, very confident. Listen, I think we can certainly get a result against the Irish at Hampden. You know, we've certainly got a receipt to give them after what they've done to us in Dublin. So we'll need to go out and, you know, be as aggressive as we were on Wednesday. And I actually think we could seal the top of the table tomorrow, because I don't think, you know, yes, Ukraine should beat Armenia, but I don't think it's necessarily a gimme for them. I don't think Armenia are going to just roll over, and they're missing a couple of key players. So I could see Armenia, you know, frustrating them and getting a draw. But even if they don't, obviously it's important that we get a win and then go to Poland and make sure we get the point or three. But I just, I think so. And I think, as I say, with McTominay, I'm not anti-McTominay. I just felt, you know, off the ball, yeah, he was great. I just think on the ball, there's still moments where he makes the wrong decision too often for me, where other players are making the right one. I thought, as I say, I'm a Rangers man, but I thought McGregor, you know, ran the show in midfield. I really do. But no, as I say, tomorrow, I'd like us to go out there and get another 3-0 would be brilliant, I think.
We'll take that. Thank you very much, Craig. It's that time of the night already. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. You know that way where you just feel like you've had a weight lifted off your shoulders? That's how I feel on Beat the Pundit at the moment, because the pundits were on about a 2-week or more winning streak, and you can always rely on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL to blow it. And that's what they did last night. The contestant came on, he beat Mark Wilson convincingly, he then took the mickey out of Gordon DL, and he went up the road with a signed ball. So there we are. The world is a better place again. If you want to try and make it two in a row for the listeners, now is the time to phone 0141 951 1025, and the lines close at 7, so please be quick, and your chance to beat the pundit is next.
all the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans is here. We checked during the news. The suitcase still hasn't arrived, I'm afraid. It's still somewhere between Venice and Bears Den.
Anybody got a gondola? I could go along the Grand Canal and see if it's bobbling up and down in the water.
And you know, the thing is, it's the, you know, the highs and lows of that jet set lifestyle. Mm. 1 minute you're singing on the gondola, yeah, to your adoring fans. Hear about this, Kenny?
No.
He was asked to sing whilst he was on the boat in Venice, and he didn't disappoint. He stood and entertained the crowds, apparently. And now you don't have any clothes to wear this weekend. So it's
That's it.
How the mighty have fallen. Anyway, 0141 951 1025. Understandably, it's a kind of quiet weekend, right, because there's no club football, but we are building up to a big game between Scotland and Republic of Ireland tomorrow. So keep your calls coming on who should play and who shouldn't, and what you made of the other night, and how we're set up going into that. Maybe you do have some club football on your mind and you would rather just get it off your chest just now, then please do feel free. I'm particularly looking at you, Dundee United fans, because you've got a new manager, and I wonder if that's the right call or the wrong call. Pick up the phone and let us know, please.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. I did say we had a landmark victory for the listeners last night. It was the first one in a long time, but can we make it two in a row, John Thornleybank?
How you doing?
Oh, John, I thought you were going silent on me there. You had me worried. Are you feeling confident? Is it going to be two in a row for the listeners?
Ah, well, you never know, possibly.
Okay, that's... Do you know what? No point in being overconfident, Hugh, so I don't mind it. John's playing it down. Have you ever played before, John?
Aye, I was on last year against Matt Wilson.
Oh, that must have been easy, no?
Well, I did beat him, but...
Okay, get that quiet at the start. Right, heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it is Kenny Miller. And it is heads.
Ooh.
Your weekend could go from bad to worse here.
Listen,
I
won on the tie break the other night.
You did, actually. That was a good effort from you, if I remember rightly. So let's give you some Clyde 2 to listen to, just so that you can't steal the answers. John, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you don't know, okay?
Okay, cheers.
Let's go. Name any of the last three Scotsmen to play for Arsenal before Kieran Tierney.
Pass.
Florian Camberi was on loan at Rangers from which club?
Pass.
Name any player who's dropped out the Scotland squad since Steve Clarke named it.
Andy Robertson.
Which company sponsored the Scottish Challenge Cup when Rangers won it in 2016?
What's the name?
You've got time. You've got disaster. Time. No, you've got time.
It's half an hour.
Right, you don't have that long. Right, Hugh Keevans, let's bring him back. Hugh, can you hear us?
I can.
Same set of questions. Ready?
Go for it.
Name any of the last three Scotsmen to play for Arsenal before Kieran Tierney.
Pass.
Florian Camberi was on loan at Rangers from which club?
Pass.
Name any player who's dropped out of the Scotland squad since Steve Clarke named it.
David Turnbull.
Which company sponsored the Scottish Challenge Cup when Rangers won it in 2016?
No, pass.
Clyde FC goalkeeper Josh Bradley Hurst has been called up to which Asian national squad?
Korea.
Okay. John, how do you think that went?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I might have been beat by one, or it's a draw.
Have we ever had, producer Chris, a 0-0? Have we ever had a 0-0? I need to know that. I'm not sure we have.
That wasn't a 0-0, though.
Let's find out. Name any of the last three Scotsmen to play for Arsenal before Kieran Tierney. We are genuinely going back to Charlie Nicholas. Paul Dickov or Scott Marshall were the last three. That's a tough. That is tough. I don't know what got into producer Chris or Callum or whoever made them up. That's tough. Florian Camberi was on loan at Rangers from
Hibs.
It was Hibs.
Of course it was.
It's just not your traditional type of loan. I can see why that may be confused. So it's 0-0. Name any player who's dropped out the Scotland squad since Steve Clarke named it there. You had the choice of Nathan Patterson, obviously, John McLaughlin, Grant Hanley, Jacob Brown, or David Turnbull. Hugh Keevans goes 1-0 in front. Don't get carried away with your celebration yet. Which company sponsored the Scottish Challenge Cup when Rangers won it in 2016? Kenny, have you got the medal? Was that in your...
Was that the Ramsdens?
No.
Petrofac.
Petrofac. I think John, I was thinking Ramsden. You were. That was the, am I allowed to mention the Raith Rovers one? Is that?
Aye, that's fine then. It was Alloa one. You were not bothered then.
So it was Petrofac and the Clyde goalkeeper Josh Bradley-Hurst. A great story this. Clyde have not had a player internationally for decades.
Oh yeah.
And they've now got one who's going to represent Sri Lanka.
Oh.
Would you believe? John, talk about a fall from grace. You beat Mark Wilson previously and you've just rocked up here and got a zero.
I know, it was brutal.
Oh,
that was brutal. I was going to say Hibs for the Canberra one. I know, I don't know why I didn't.
Oh, John.
Hibs came into my head first.
It's a 50% win rate, but if you're only as good as your last game, John, that one's going to take a bit to get over.
Ah, well.
Please tell me that what you witnessed from Scotland the other night makes you think that they can do better tomorrow.
No, they'll need to do better than that, I'll tell you that.
I know, the bar's been set low, but were you impressed the other night?
They played well. I've got to gear them. They played well. They just need to keep it up now. You know what I mean? It's all right. Then the other night, but they need to keep it up now. Tomorrow, obviously, that'll probably be a hard game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, John. Way to lick his wounds. A nil, never good. I think that's our second zero of the season for the listeners.
Two wins in 1 week for the old fella. That's the way to look at it.
Might not have any clean pants, but he's good at beating the pundit.
What a clean sheet.
Every cloud. 01419511025. Oh, to make it even worse, the brass neck on this guy. Mark Wilson's texted in and said, John, with four laughing faces. John beat you the last time and you lost last night, Mark Wilson. And now he's acting all chirpy. So these guys, they've got no shame.
No,
absolutely no shame, him and DL, honestly.
Mind you, the Dazzler was trying to put him off last night again.
Yeah, I know, it is a shame that actually. See, when they two play, you should see them giving each other gestures across the room, and it's not great. And they're like, they're two wee kids. I had called Gordon DL on the phone today. I drew with Wilson at the golf. He thought he had beat me this morning. And anyway, they've got the weekend off, so they can do whatever it is they fancy. Where are we? We're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. And we are on the phones as well, 01419511025. Lots more to come on Scotland, I'm absolutely sure. So please keep your calls coming on that one. Anyone who doesn't think tomorrow's a sort of confident one, everyone else has been, yeah, you know, we've got our act together, Ukraine, we'll show Ireland, and we'll make up for the summer. Anyone still got lingering doubts? Is that what Scotland does to you? Or is everyone pretty much confident? Let us know, 01419511025. Other big piece of club news today is that we've got a new manager in the Scottish Premiership, which is always a big story. And when I say new, he's been around because it's Liam Fox at Dundee United. He will officially replace Jack Ross. He has been handed a 2-year deal. You will of course remember he's been on interim charge for a couple of games, and former Dundee United striker Stevie Crawford will leave East Fife and return to Tannadice as assistant head coach. So I wonder what you make of that. Let's bring in Stuart, who's a Dundee United fan, funnily enough, from Dundee. Just gut reaction, Stuart, is that the right call for you?
Do you know, it just kind of reeks of a lack of ambition for me. You know, I just kind of, it's been sitting with me a bit today. You know, I think United fans in general knew it was happening. I don't believe there was a genuine interview process. I think that we all knew it was going to be Liam Fox, and I think part of me is a bit like, is this the best we can get? You know, like, I don't know, maybe even a bit harsh, but I feel like he's been part of a regime for the last, you know, two managers, Courts and Ross, you know, and he's been part of a team that's not done that well over the last 30-odd games. I just don't know what he's genuinely going to bring. I hope I'm wrong, but I just feel a bit like, are we being shortchanged in terms of, like, who's actually out there, available, who could potentially get the job, be interviewed? You know, you look at Hibs and we have a choice between Johnson and Thomason. You know, it's a genuine kind of application process. I looked at them, the names that were interviewed this week, you know, Dean Holden, Carol Robinson and Kevin Thompson. I think Kevin Thompson was probably the most genuine one for us, but I think United fans knew it was going to be Fox all along. I think it's quite political in terms of when the appointment's been made, as in, I think if we'd been hammered at Ibrox, it would have been harder for him to be appointed. But I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on?
Underwhelmed, I think, Stuart, is Hugh. What's your take?
When Tam Courts came in, I thought that everyone was underwhelmed. And Tam Courts took United to fourth place, got them into Europe. So I don't think that Liam Fox necessarily signifies a lack of ambition. Maybe they know they have a good coach in their hands. I thought at Ibrox last week, he took a terrible pounding in the first half. They were a goal down and it should have been more. But second half, Dundee United played some good football, got it to 2-1, had Rangers on the back foot, had Rangers supporters grumbling and mumbling, and he looks to me on the touchline like a very calm individual. So I'd be loath to say that it smacks of a lack of ambition. Mm. I do take Stuart's point that he's been part of a regime that started the season in a calamitous way, one win over AZ Alkmaar apart.
Yeah.
But it's a real tough job. United, bottom of the table, still haunted by 7 goals lost to AZ Alkmaar, 9 lost to Celtic. But
oh, don't run through them all. Stuart will hang up.
But Stuart, you having said what you have said, I am bound to say to you, who would you have appointed then?
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question. You know, and I think that I actually agree with what you said there. I wanted Jack Ross. You know, that was I thought it was a brilliant appointment. I actually thought it was an upgrade on Courts. By the end, I think a lot of United fans would say that they weren't that bothered that he was actually leaving. I think our record in the last 28 games was 1-6. Quite a negative style of football, but ultimately it got us in Europe in what was a kind of a poor season across the board from everybody. I think 48 points or 44 points was the lowest tally ever to get fourth. And I don't think we'll see that again. I remember Jackie McNamara's side, United side, really good side. I think we finished on about 56 points. I finished fifth. So, like, I think he got a wee bit fortunate. It was this kind of, you know, like, from the outsider's point of view, that Tam Courts did really well, and he did. You know, finishing fourth in that league is tough. But, yeah, it's a good question. You know, like, I don't know, like, my honest opinion is that Malky Mackay would have been a great appointment, but it comes with the baggage that I don't think clubs are really willing to touch him.
I think that's tremendously unfair. Malky Mackay was guilty of letting himself and everyone about him down by his conduct, but he has done everything to rehabilitate himself. For example, David Martindale. Why did Dundee United not consider David Martindale another one who's rehabilitated himself?
To be fair to Stuart, I think Stuart's saying that's how he thinks clubs feel, rather than him personally, whether he does or not.
I think Stuart's 100% correct.
Well, yeah.
But from a personal point of view, I just think that's desperately unfair. Roy McGregor took Malky to Dingwall. He eventually did well for them last season. He's having a difficult time at the start of this season, but the baggage, as Stuart refers to it, when is a man... David Martindale was rightly forgiven for a past that he regrets and has since worked very hard to leave behind, and Malky Mackay should be in the same position.
I think we're in danger of going down a full different road. Maybe we're going to have a debate about that another night. Kenny, what's your take on the appointment? Because Stuart hits on that very general one about if you've been a number two and the guy who's been number one gets the sack because things were bad, were you not part of that? Do you take part of the blame? How do you see this one for Liam Fox?
I think you need to take part of the blame, because you've got a role to play, and that role's to help and ease a load on a manager when the assistant. So I get that, and also I do understand Stuart's thing, what he's saying about the way the league panned out last year, and there were... Dundee United were like the best of a bad bunch, to be honest with you, in regards to the form that a lot of the teams are showing in the second half of last season. But that being said, you've still got to look at success. If the start of the season European football would have been viewed as success for Dundee United, it was achieved. So you could still say Liam played a part in that success of last season, and you were 7 games in.
Yeah.
Or 7 games into the new season. So it's not even a bad quarter of a season yet. So I still think he's done his time, Liam, as a coach, being in the Hearts with the academies. He's had the opportunity now to be the assistant at Dundee United. And Hugh's right, maybe they really value what Liam can bring, and maybe Felix deserves to get in that chance to make the step up. So in terms of the process, I think it's been pretty much common knowledge that everyone expected Liam Fox to get it. over the last 2 weeks, even 3 weeks. Yeah, they still need to go through the process, but they've landed on the man that was right under their nose. So it's no surprise he's got it. I wish him all the very best.
Stuart, does it show you the fine lines that can be involved when you get that short interim period? You know, Hugh mentioned, and by the way, Dundee United did really well, so not meaning to take anything away from them at Ibrox. You know, but clearly, if Rangers score one of those early chances, that might turn into a difficult afternoon. You'll forgive me for trying to get this one in here. The game against Motherwell, really, you know, really on top, probably should have won. And then at that point, would it have become difficult to give Liam Fox the job? Now, I appreciate I'm just going off on a bit of a hypothetical here, but the importance of that little interim period.
I agree with you. You know, the Motherwell game, we were at the Motherwell game, could be 4-0 down at half time. You know, Van Veen's missed so many chances. You know, like, and you know, I agree with the kind of Rangers analogy as well. You know, a few goals going early, and you know, it just becomes a different story. And so, we'll go back to your question, actually having a thought about it, I probably would have taken Levine back, and I would have had Fox as his assistant. And if Levine weren't only wanted to work the season out, Fox and Levine have worked together at Hearts before. And I just think Levine's not going to get us relegated, in my opinion. He's going to come in and do a job, set us up properly. My worry is for Fox is that we've got three games at home next. We've got St Johnstone, Aberdeen and Hibs. And what happens if we lose these games? You know, like, you've got a good squad. My general point, I suppose, is that I don't believe it's the best out there, and I don't believe it's a genuine interview process. As Kenny said, you know, like, everybody in football knows that Liam Fox is the next Dundee United manager, but apparently we've had 40 applicants. I don't believe there's not been an applicant in there that we've looked at and gone, well, he's worth interviewing. That would be a genuinely good interview. And I think that's my problem. I think that's probably quite a lot of United fans' problem with it. I really hope he does well. You know, like, I'm not one of these fans who wants to be proved. I want to be proved wrong with this. I hope he comes in and does a great job. But I just think we're being shortchanged a wee bit.
Yeah, it's interesting, Kenny, because you look at, I mean, Motherwell went and you know, gave it to Stevie Hamill. Loose comparison there. I'm talking, you know, guys that are already in the building. Is it sometimes easier to do that? And Stuart makes the point about Jack Ross. So Dundee United have gone from, if I can be very general about these things, a left field appointment, or a whatever you would call it, in Tam Courts. They've then gone for what's supposed to be the obvious one in Jack Ross. That's the obvious one, and that doesn't work. And then back to something that was internal. So there are no guarantees either way, I guess, is what you would learn from Dundee United over the last couple of seasons.
No, because you just need to win games. That is it. Like, I'm lost. Like, Tam Courts, just because he had a decent season, like, he was, again, an unknown quantity. You know, like, it was probably an underwhelming appointment for Stuart and the rest of the Dundee United fans when Tam got the job. But over the course of a season, got success, got into Europe. Jack Ross was the obvious choice for everyone. All it tells you is, like, it doesn't matter whether you're experienced or no experienced. You need to go and you need to affect a group of players, and you need to get the absolute best out of them. Dundee United started pretty well last year. Like you say, there wasn't a lot of wins in over the last 30 games, Jack's time and Tam's time. But you just need to find a way of getting results and getting the best out of a group. And experience for me is a real bugbear, to be honest with you.
The fan in Scotland is a complex person, because Stuart says, next three games, what if he loses all of them? What if he wins all of them?
Yeah, I mean, you football types will always back yourself, and he, I'm almost certain, without knowing him, will think, great, three home games to kick us off, rather than, oh, what's going to happen if these go wrong?
He should think that way. He'd been given a platform. In one sense, it's advantageous. You've been given these three games on the bounce at home. In another sense, if Stuart's doomsday scenario is correct and he fails to win any of them, then it's not advantageous at all. But as things stand right now, he's got the benefit of the doubt on his side.
Right, Stuart, thanks for taking the time. Stay in touch. Keep us updated on how you think it's going.
Cheers. Thanks
good
very
man,
much.
That was Stuart from Dundee. You too. Have you noticed this about AZ Alkmaar, by the way? They've played 15 games this season, including against Rangers conquerors Ajax. They've played 15 times, and the only team to beat them is Dundee United. Went out and beat Ajax 2-1 on Sunday there.
Well, they're a good team. They're a good team.
And the damage that was done, the seven. Hugh, you just wonder how Jack Ross feels about this stuff. Massive if, capital if with the underline, but I don't know if the seven's only a five, or if the nine against Celtic is only a five. you probably still in the job? Is that how fine it is?
I think the Celtic result coming so soon after AZ Alkmaar did for Jack Ross. There's no way back after that.
Yeah, there's a pretty simple formula. See if when you hear the result, you repeat it back and go, nine. That's when you know, isn't it? That's when you've tipped it into outrageous territory.
Again, without going over old ground as well, you throw on a three and it could have been a five against St Mirren, and you throw a four against Hearts. It was a really, really poor run of results. And the fact that those two ones that stand out, it wasn't a great kind of run of form. I mean, you're still sitting with seven games gone and no wins. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's still no great.
So you don't get points for being the only team to beat Alkmaar this season?
Nah, you don't get anything for that. You get done a 9-1 in aggregate.
We tried 01419511025. Anything else on that topic? You want to change it completely to something else? Go back to Scotland. You decide. Come on, let us know. Get the calls in and we'll speak to you next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Right, it's that time of the night. You've got your experienced striker, as he was often referred to, and your experienced pundit in Hugh Keevan's Kenny Miller, going to team up on this full-time teaser. And now, thank you to Stephen for sending it in, a bit quite similar to last night's. And if you want to get a bit of that, if you like the sound of it and you think, do you know what, I could come up with a question and catch those experts out, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Tonight Stephen says, can you name, and I think you'll scoosh this, the last nine scorers to score for Scotland in a competitive match who were at an English Premier League club at the time? So can you name the last nine different scorers to score for Scotland in a competitive match, no friendlies, that played in the English Premier League at the time? One each to kick us off.
Stephen Fletcher.
I cannot believe that's McGinn. Where you've started. Yes, John McGinn.
Adams.
Yep, Hugh.
I'll get back to you.
Right, okay, we'll leave it there then. We'll see how you fare between now and the end of the night. Just worth repeating though, fulltime@clyde1.com. Send them in, please. We're always looking for as many of your questions as possible. And quite frankly, your knowledge out there is absolutely top drawer. Every single week you show it on Twitter, so why not send us in a question and see how you get on. We have been reacting to a couple of things. The Scotland game, of course, which is an interesting call from Stuart, who's not sure he's having Liam Fox's appointment as Dundee United boss. You can give us your thoughts on that. Nice wee bust up at the weekend between Jim Goodwin and Ryan Porteous. Jim Goodwin's been charged for that one. That was yesterday, Hugh, and last night was just mad. It was just full of praise for Scotland. I wonder what you made of that story yesterday. You know, we had a bit of fun and played the interview at the weekend, and it's come back to bite Jim Goodwin.
I'm uneasy about the whole thing. I think that the referee was guilty of a terrible mistake and altered the course of the game by giving the penalty. I think he got the decision wrong, and therefore the Aberdeen manager is entitled to feel aggrieved. I think we're all big boys, and you're able to handle what Jim Goodwin said. I remember Ryan Porteous going on television after Hibs had beaten Rangers, shortly after Stephen Gerrard had used the expression, "Do I not look happy?" Mm-hmm. And I thought it was perfectly allowable fun on the part of Ryan Porteous, but he said, "Do I not look happy?"
Yeah, I wonder how relevant or comparable that is, though. And the fact, again, you know, you mentioned that the referee's made a mistake and so on. That's probably immaterial, isn't it? Because the charge or the accusation is that it's not right for managers to call players cheats.
Yeah.
So that's a different thing. You don't have to agree, but it's different, isn't it, to whether the ref got it right or not, or whether he had a sarcastic comment about Stephen Gerrard.
Yeah. I think one of the charges is not acting in the best interests of the game. So presumably the use of the word cheat comes under that category.
I'll get Kenny's thoughts on it, because he's been on both sides of this sort of stuff, I'm sure. Jordan is on the line. What's your take on it, Jordan?
Oh, well, I was just phoning up to say, I think Jim Goodwin was quite right with his comments on Ryan Porteous there. Like, he's always, there's no doubt that he's a good player, but his antics on and off the park, opposition players stand off, diving, cheating. I think he was quite right, Jim Goodwin, to call it out. And he's one like many Scottish players we've seen before, where if he focused on just playing his football, going about his business, he'd be a great player.
I mean, Kenny, the Hibs fans, and by the way, if you're out there, feel free, they'll leap to that defence and say his disciplinary record actually isn't that bad, and there's an agenda out there against Ryan Porteous, and people like to pick on him, and it's out of order. Again, to boil it down, should managers be allowed to call players cheats?
So firstly, did they call, did they use that word cheat? I think he did not use con. Did he not use condom?
No, I think he did use the word cheat.
Ah, if you're listening, if you're using,
well, he said Porte, people will say he's good at it and he's clever, but it's blatant cheating.
All right, okay. Well, listen, that's, does it warrant everything that's coming along with it? Probably not. Is it maybe a little bit strong on Jim's part? Probably is, aye, in terms of the word that's been used.
Do you agree with you in the sense that we should be able to just take these things on the chin and move on with them?
I think so. I don't think you really need to, like, there doesn't need to be like any ramifications. Maybe Jim's, he's really emotional when he makes it because it's the wrong decision. It is.
Yeah.
And Ryan Portras is very, very good getting himself entangled in these types of situations to get an advantage for his team. So, but using the word yet, but yeah. I think we can move on for it. And we don't need to be still be talking about it weeks down in advance when we see a potential punishment coming out for Jim Goodwin. I just think that's maybe not right. And you've got to remember when there's points at stake, there's jobs at stake, that when you feel your manager's players are aggrieved by a certain decision, after a game, you're going to be emotional about it, you know, and sometimes you've just got to kind of forgive it and understand the position that they're in.
This is where football finds itself in some sort of blurred lines, grey areas, call it what you want, Hugh, because, you know, it's sort of in general, you know, publicly accusing someone of being a cheat, that's not great. It's not really an accusation you can make. But of course, in football, it's a bit more like everyday speak, isn't it? And then to make it, to add even more confusion, are, you know, what is cheating? You know, is Ryan, you know, it goes back to stuff about whether it's diving or, you know, whatever else people say, you know, are you blatantly cheating? Are you taking an opportunity? Some people are quite clear on that. No, that's cheating, and therefore you should be allowed to be accused of being a cheat. But
managers,
we kind of go around in circles on it.
Managers are compelled to give post-match interviews long before they've properly calmed down. And, you know, television insist upon it. All branches of the media insist upon it. And the SPFL at contract negotiation time with Sky Television, as it is at the moment, are compelled to provide that service for them. So in the heat of the moment, people will say things which, with the benefit of time on their side, they would think, ah, wish I hadn't said that. So, you know, are we going to get to a situation where managers say, well, I'm not doing the press until I've thought about this? I don't care what it says in the contract.
To be fair, though, we're maybe putting words in Jim Goodwin's mouth, taking words out of Jim Goodwin's mouth.
Yeah.
Maybe he's sitting tonight and saying, I stand by it all. I'm perfectly
sure
calm. It's 10 days on.
I'm absolutely sure he does.
You know, don't accuse me of being, you know, just angry and frustrated. I believe it. I stand by it. I think at the time he said, you know, I told Ryan as much on the pitch. Jordan, too, this test is always quite important. Would you be fine? Because you're just an observer. You're a Rangers fan, I believe. Are you comfortable that opposition managers could, you know, label your players as cheats?
I think it's happened in the past when there's been incidents with Morelos on the park and other players as well. It's been labelled as cheating, and I feel, as if a player is almost breaking the rules, like with Portis, whether he did cheat or not, it's another debate. But I feel like if players are cheating to an extent, maybe they are trying to gain their team an advantage. But I think there comes a point where fair's fair, and then there's a line. And I think Portis has crossed it a few times, and obviously with my team, I'm a Rangers fan, and there has been times where some of our players have crossed the line as well, and it would be fair enough for managers to brand them cheats as well. And Hugh was right as well, his point saying managers are forced to give interviews before they can see incidents again, before they can calm down. But Kenny was right as well, when there's points on the line, managers are going to be heated. And I think the punishment for Jim Goodwin saying it, I don't think fits the crime really.
Yeah, Hugh, you can really understand both sides. But you, if you're Ryan Portis, you're thinking, I don't appreciate being labelled a cheat or called a cheat. But at the same time, and let's even take it away from Ryan Portis, if Kenny Miller produces a blatant dive in the box, which I'm sure he never would, is it really that big a drama that a manager says, I think he's cheated there?
I don't think it's that big a drama. However, someone could argue with me and say, well, what if the player said, calling me a cheat is damaging to my career, And yeah. I regard it as defamatory. So if a player said, no, I'm not even happy with the SPFL punishing him, I want him punished through the courts, then we might have trouble in our hands. But I just think that people like Ryan Porteous, Hardy Boy, you know, it's a real coarse environment here. I just think we can go over that.
That's kind of the point I was making, where football doesn't always act like other walks of life. Mm-hmm. If you and I had a proper fallout on here, and I said, you know, I said that I thought, and I'm not talking something trivial like beat the pundit, but I said, you know, you're a cheat or you're a liar. You know, it is quite serious. But then take the point, Kenny. Is football just a bit different? I don't know. If a manager called you a cheat, how would you have felt as a player?
That's
or said you were cheating?
I don't think I would have bothered too much, to be honest. Had I done something that gained my team an advantage and he was upset about it, I could understand why he would be upset about it. But again, everybody's different. Some people are more sensitive. Some people take it a different way, you know. But I don't see anything too wrong with what Jim says. Again, maybe looking back on it, that you say, maybe he'll stand, and he will stand by it, Jim, if you see the way he kind of he carries himself, I'm sure he will. Could he have used a different word? Absolutely could have. But at that moment, he felt it was appropriate, and he maybe felt cheated. You know, the way it went down. Not only did it cost him a 1-0 lead, it cost him a player, effectively cost him a result. Jobs are on the line, there's points up for grabs. Jim knows he'll need to finish a certain way this year in a certain position to probably keep his job, so that could be 3 points gone. I think he said it after it. Not only might not have cost him 1 point, it could have cost him a win, because it definitely was a turning point in the game.
All we need now is for Ryan Porteous to come on for Scotland tomorrow, score the winner against Jim Goodwin's Republic of Ireland, and completely ruin his weekend.
And we'll be absolutely hailing him as a.
He'll have united the nation and he'll have ruined Jim Goodwin's weekend.
I really do believe that Ryan Porteous will think, this is too much of a fuss over this.
Okay, thank you, Jordan, for your input. Much appreciated. Can you name the last 9 different scorers to score for Scotland in a competitive match that played in the English Premier League at the time? John McGinn, 2 days ago. Shea Adams in the summer against Armenia. You getting to grips with it yet, Hugh?
Armstrong, Stuart Armstrong.
Yeah, same game, I think, Armenia, well done.
Kieran Tierney.
Friendly, I think that was.
Yeah, friendly, I think it was, yep.
McTominay.
Yes, what night that was, eh? Yeah. Was that the winner against Israel?
Yep,
I think it was back in October.
Who else have I got here? Patterson, was he still at Rangers at the time? I think he was.
Yeah, he's not on the list.
Robertson.
Yeah, Andy Robertson, Cyprus, June 2019. I think that was Stevie Clark's first game in charge, was it? Okay, 4 to get. We'll get them next and we'll speak to Andy after these.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight with Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller. Holiday weekend for most of you. We've got Scotland Ireland tomorrow. Maybe you're off. We've been off work today. Off on Monday. Who knows? But lots to look forward to. You going away? Any plans for the weekend? Up to the holiday home, perhaps.
I am going to the holiday home tomorrow to see my 2 wee. Temporary Dundonians, and then I'm going straight back to see the match.
In the same clothes you're wearing just now, presumably, though.
Yeah.
Just turn them inside out. You'll get away with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Looking forward to the game tomorrow. We're going to get Andy's thoughts in just a second, but we need to make some headway on this teaser. And again, a reminder, it's fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to submit a question, just like Stephen did tonight. Who are the last 9 scorers to score for Scotland in a competitive match that played in the English Premier League at the time? John McGinn, Stuart Armstrong, Shea Adams, Scott McTominay, Andy Robertson.
Robert Snodgrass.
Ooh, well done, you know. He's October 2017.
He's on the list.
Well done. Kenny, I'll take a guess from you.
Hanley?
No.
No. Okay. Fletcher?
Nope.
Nope.
I think, right, there's one on here that's a bit sneaky. I think it's a bit sneaky. I think I don't even think a steward's inquiry would clear it up. It's just going to be your own personal sort of feeling. Like, let's just say that, because there are internationals in the summer. So are you a Premier League player if it's in the summer and you're getting promoted or
You talk McKenna?
I am, well done. Didn't need to go much further. Scott McKenna scored against Armenia. Right, you've only got 2 to get, so we'll get them before the end. Let's bring in Andy Andy, what pleased you most about Scotland the other night that you want to see taken into tomorrow?
How are you doing, guys?
Thank you.
What I was saying to the producer, I was saying what I liked was before the game was the attitude of the players. They knew they'd kind of let, I'm allowed to say, us down. You know what I mean? And ourselves down. But I just loved the attitude. You know, they went, right, we knew it was in the day what we had to do. And the other night they done it. And I'm hoping for the same again tomorrow. I mean, really, that was, hanging out with the boy, everybody said that was a great performance for Scotland. And everybody thinks that, you know, Ukraine's going to beat Armenia, but Ukraine looked absolutely shattered after that game. Armenia might do us a wee favour, actually.
Yeah, it remains a possibility, Hugh. Like, these things kind of go hand in hand anyway, right? But a lot of praise about the technical side of the performance, and these looked bang at it as well, didn't they? As Andy said.
Yeah, I'm surprised by this insistence on talking about revenge against the Republic of Ireland. The Republic of Ireland went out, were the better team and won a football match. We did not play anything like well on the day. So for me, tomorrow, they're going into a game, the Scotland players, thinking we're on the back of a really great performance against Ukraine. Let's do this for ourselves, for our own progress, and for the praise that we will get in return. It's got nothing to do with getting revenge.
Andy didn't mention revenge at any point.
I understand that. I'm just thinking that so many people go on about revenge.
Narrative that sets in.
It's nothing to do with revenge. It's about progression.
What might link the two though, Kenny, if Andy's saying he really liked the attitude the other night, you know, felt you could see it from the Scotland players, that is something that people said was missing then in Dublin in June. So that would be the bit you're looking to put right first, and then that gives you the foundation to go and play.
They did, and I think they touched on it last on Wednesday night after the game. They felt they had not just that, I mean, they felt they'd let everybody down, themselves, the fans, obviously their manager. I think they all done that. So that's it for me. Like Hugh says, I said at the top of the show, it's not about revenge and retribution. It's about performing to a level that we've come to expect for the Steve Clarke team, a level that we've actually seen them surpass, I felt, on Wednesday night.
Was that a better performance than Denmark, for instance?
I think so, because we were very, very good that night, but we weren't as dominant. We weren't as controlled. It wasn't constant pressure towards that goal like it was on Wednesday night. And also the amount of chances, how creative and how inventive it were with some of our play and the chances that were created. I mean, you think of the McTominay when he gets into that area and he just back heels it into Armstrong, and Armstrong goes through for probably his third or fourth chance of the night.
So when he blazed over.
He puts over the bar. There was just like constant, I mean, I think there was two headers for Adams in 12 seconds. It was just a barrage of pressure. And eventually they buckled. You know, when you've got that type of thing, I mean, I'm sure there were spells that a lot of people think it's going to be one of these nights. Mm-hmm. But once the first goal went, I mean, Armstrong had a header as well that actually ended up so far away from the goal, it wasn't even close
to
scoring.
Didn't want to mess up his hair, but I think was, is the accusation.
It was a brilliant performance, it really was. And different, it was, Denmark was very good. This was very different in regards to how good and how dominant we were against a good team.
Without being too unfair on previous times, as a man who did a lot of running in channels for Scotland, would you like some of those chances that we created the other night?
You know, we would, and a lot gets made about comparing teams and players. I mean, like, you look through the years, we've had some incredible players.
Absolutely.
It's maybe not been, it's all came together the way it should have, but at the moment it is, because as a forward playing in that game, and Shea Adams put a power of work in. You know, again, I actually talked about it leading into the game, that there's so much more to him than just the goal scoring. But him as a player, he'll have looking at those headers, and he'll be disappointed he's not came away with at least a goal. But the work that he puts in for the team allows guys to come on like Lyndon Dykes and even Ryan Fraser's, that he's put so much work to run that back line down and wear them out, because they did look tired. They looked out on their feet at the end. You came, but that was down to the energy, everybody, and what they had put in there. So it would have been great to play in a team with the players of that quality. And again, the other night, the chances that were created was superb.
Andy, it's taken a couple of days, right, but I finally found a negative from the game the other night, and it's that it's done us out of a debate about who should play tomorrow, because everyone's just going to say pretty much the same team, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. I just hope that Parsons okay, but when you look at what you're reading the papers, it doesn't seem he's going to be able to play. But Hickey came on and done well. I mean, really, the whole team was just outstanding, I thought.
Yeah, I don't want to finish on a sour note as such, but it's a real shame, isn't it?
I'm so
Nathan
sorry
Patterson.
For him. I mean, having survived a shaky start at Everton, change of manager, everything was going his way. The Everton fans love him. And in the midst of triumph for Scotland, there was the moment of tragedy, really.
Yeah, I don't know about direct replacements as such, Kenny, because David Turnbull's dropped out, Nathan Patterson's dropped out, and it's Declan Gallagher and Josh Doig that have been called in. So Stevie Clark obviously thinks he can maybe move things around or whatever. And I mean, Josh Doig, I don't think, is going to pop up at right back, but Aaron Hickey might pop up at left back, which, you know,
There's good flexibility in there. I think when off the back of the other night, Steve felt he maybe needs a little bit more defensive cover within the squad. I mean, Hickey's got to play. He really has. And again, I would be pretty much the same as everybody, that I feel that the performance was that good, and the guys will be high as kites. You know, they'll be buzzing off the performance. They'll be eager for the kickoff to come tomorrow night and to go and right get after Ireland the way they did against Ukraine. So I would just let them off the leash again. And as long as everybody's fit and healthy and able to go and replicate it, then let them off the leash. The obvious choice is obviously Hickey replacing Patterson would be the only one for me.
We're looking forward to it. Thank you, Andy. Let's see if we can finish on a high with you two then. What about this teaser? We're looking for two more.
Kenny McLean.
Of the last nine Scots who scored in a competitive game and played in the English Premier League at the time, no. So you've got McGinn, Armstrong, Adams, McKenna, McTominay, Robertson, Snodgrass.
I'll go through my list. Maloney?
No.
No. In that era, no.
Wait, there's one that's in the current squad. There's one that featured the other night.
Fraser.
Ryan Fraser against the Faroes, March 21. The other one, we're now going back a bit. We're going back to that Snodgrass era.
And it's no Fletcher?
No.
Dave Smith?
No, not a known goal scorer. Right area of the pitch, roughly, but probably even less of an attacker than James Morrison was. Oh, do you know what though?
Fletcher,
he actually popped up with a couple for Scotland, this guy.
It's the other Fletcher,
definitely right area of the pitch now if you're talking Darren.
Yeah.
So around that time, in Strachan's team, you were talking Scott Brown, Darren Fletcher, and there was kind of one other that would be in that same.
No, I'm at a loose end here.
Clue.
Hamilton Ackies. So I'll say
James McCarthy.
James MacArthur.
MacArthur.
James MacArthur.
Good shout,
right, thank you, Kenny and Hugh. Back on Monday with Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna and GBX Anthems up next. Enjoy your weekend, whatever you're up to.